High winds, storm surge, and heavy rains will batter the First Coast today as Hurricane Dorian passes by us. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. As this hour, we bring you the very latest information on Hurricane Dorian and live reports from across the area, plus your calls. Give us a call right now. It's 549-2937. Share your preparations and thoughts with us. Right now, Hurricane Dorian is a Category 2 storm about 90 miles offshore, as we've been hearing from our partners at the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. It's currently crawling up Florida's east coast, just passing by Daytona Beach. It's about 130 miles away from Jacksonville right now, moving north-northwest at about 8 miles per hour, with maximum sustained winds at 105 miles per hour. Now, today's the day of action for Jacksonville. Later on today and tonight, our beaches will experience Dorian's full battering. We will go down to the St. Johns County Emergency Ops Center in just a moment and check in with them because they'll get the worst impacts first. Right now, though, we're going to chat with Steve Woodard. He's chief of the Emergency Preparedness Division within the Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Department. He also serves as Duval County Emergency Planning Director and Security Coordinator for the City of Jacksonville. Director Woodard, thanks so much for being on the program. We appreciate a few minutes of your time on this very busy day. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Okay, so today's the big day for emergency ops in Duval County. Shelters are open. Almost everything is closed as we prepare for the worst impacts of Dorian. What are you on the watch for the most today? Concerns about winds and rain and potentially some flooding, correct?
Well, Melissa, downtown we've already had some of the initial bands of Hurricane Dorian impact us. We've had some wind and some rain. We're making certain that everything is in place as the storm approaches.
Yes. And of course, the beaches are expected to get the worst of it, but certainly other parts of Duval County aren't immune. What's your advice for everyone out there listening who's sheltering in place?
So we've been telling people to prepare for several days. At this time, those preparations should be complete. People should stay indoors, avoid driving, monitor the situation as we progress through the day. We'll be experiencing the impacts all day today and into the evening hours. The forecast is that after midnight, we should start to see the conditions improve, and then we'll move ahead.
And of course, you know, Director Woodard, after Hurricane Irma, we really got slammed the inland neighborhoods of Jacksonville with historic flooding. We're not expecting quite that level of flooding this time, are we? But still, flooding could be a problem for some parts of the community.
Well, as you know, no two storms are alike. Hurricane Matthew was certainly different with the impacts than Hurricane Irma. We are concerned primarily with the coastal regions for Hurricane Dorian, but the possibility of some flooding along the St. Johns River, given that we've already had some high astronomical tides, we're closely monitoring that. And anyone who lives near the water should monitor those situations and conditions throughout the period.
Could you bring us up to date as well on how you feel curfews worked across the area last night? Those were put into place not just in Duval County, but in other parts of our listening area.
Those authorities made that decision based on their situations. The downtown area in Jacksonville was not under any curfew last night. We obviously are under evacuation orders for zones A and B, but the beaches did have a curfew, and I'm not aware of any situations or any problems.
That's good to hear. Other services hopefully resuming tomorrow. Any reports of power outages yet, or is everything kind of in a waiting period at this moment?
Just checked with JEA a few minutes ago, and they only had 669 customers that were without power. We've been checking with the other electric authorities up the coast as the storm has made its way northward, and they did experience power outages in the other counties. We're closely monitoring that here, and as you know, JEA has a lot of crews that are standing by ready to respond if we do have outages.
Okay, and anything else, Director Woodard, that you'd like the public to be aware of this morning?
Just continue to monitor the situation, monitor the weather forecast, and monitor any information that your local authorities are pushing out.
Thank you so much for your time. He's Steve Woodard, Chief of the Emergency Preparedness Division at JFRD in the county's Emergency Planning Director. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you on the other side of this storm, sir.
Thank you. Be careful.
Thank you. It's 549-2937 to join First Coast Connect this morning as we spend the hour tracking Hurricane Dorian. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, St. Johns County is going to feel the worst impacts of the storm before Duval and Nassau counties as it crawls up the Florida coast. Let's go now to Kelly Wilson. She's senior planner for the St. Johns County Emergency Operations Center, and she's got an update on conditions there. Hey, Kelly, thanks for being with us again right now.
Hey, good morning. It's a pleasure being here. And I think when you said crawl up the coast, that's about what it's doing.
It's pretty crawling slow, yeah. And, you know, climatologists and meteorologists have been trying to educate us about this. The warming oceans are contributing to a really monster storm like Dorian, moving even slower than in years past. And that's worrisome, isn't it? That can cause more damage over time.
Well, yeah, you always, you know, if you're going to have one, you want it to get up and move, you know, and that's been our mantra around here. Just move. You know, the longer it sits, the more damage. I mean, we're starting to see the pictures of the incredible damage from the Bahamas, and it just sat there for so long. You know, hopefully, obviously, we'll be more fortunate than that because it's going to pass off our coast. But we're hoping that, you know, it stays off the coast, but we just need it to get moving and get past here and get out of here.
I know it. I mean, that's the anxiety so many are feeling right now. They just would like this to be over with. It feels like we've been waiting on this storm for a week, just about. Tell us what you're expecting later on today and tonight in St. Johns County and your preparations for the folks that reside there.
Yeah, so basically today what we're doing is this morning it's windy, it's rainy. You know, we expect the conditions to deteriorate as the day goes on. You know, we are prepared. We are ready. Our shelters are open. We've got everybody where they need to be. We've got them all staged. And what we're asking people to do now, stay wherever you are. Get wherever you're going and stay there today. Stay off the road. You know, if you've evacuated, stay wherever you are. We don't need people driving around. You know, as the winds start picking up, we're already starting to power outages are being reported by FBNL. The last time I looked, it was about 2,000. A little over 2,000 people for the county. You know, get somewhere, stay there. You know, don't drive around. There's nothing to see. Just, you know, you go later. Don't cause, you know, more problems for our law enforcement. They're already busy with a lot of stuff.
That's right. Now, as we were talking about a moment ago with the emergency ops director in Duval, in your county in particular, some curfews were used last night. How are those working, and do you plan to put them down again this evening?
Yeah, so the curfew order is in effect until further notice, until it is lifted. So what that is we need people to, you know, we don't want looky-loos driving around during the night. And it's a safety. It's absolutely for safety. So last night, law enforcement was starting to check people, especially on the island, you know, because the curfew is in effect only for the evacuated zones A and B, Hastings and Flagler State. So what we don't want is people driving around at night that have no reason to be driving around at night. We don't want people driving around on the island that have absolutely no reason to be there. So law enforcement is enforcing that curfew. So whatever, you know, today it's time to just stay where you are. Tonight, don't just hang on. Tomorrow, the weather will have cleared and we'll be all right. But that 8 to 6 curfew is in place until it is lifted.
All right. Let's talk for a minute about the folks in your beaches communities, Flagler, Hastings, Crescent Beach, all up and down the coast there as bridges have been closed to barrier islands. What are your special concerns for people that are riding this out, sheltering in place where they are out at the beach communities?
Okay, so what the bridges are actually what we're calling it is limited access eastbound.
Okay.
So what that means is if you are going eastbound, you better have a reason to be over there. Now, those bridges could close at any moment, but right now what's going on is there's law enforcement stationed there, and if you do not have a business or address over on that island, you will not have access to go across that bridge. Westbound, you can come across the bridge for now, and that's what is the most important thing and why we're telling people, get where you need to be and stay there, because when those winds pick up enough, those bridges are going to get closed and you're not going to get across them.
Thanks for that important update. And any reports of outages yet in your community?
FCNL, the last, and it's been probably 10 or 15 minutes, JEA was reporting no power outages. They cover power in the northern part of our county, a section in the northwest. FCNL was reporting somewhere around 2,100 people without power so far.
Okay, so those outages are ticking up, as we also heard from the Duval County EOC. More to come over the next 24 to 48 hours. When people lose power, things can get, they can get even more frustrated and concerned as they work to get through the storm. Let me make a quick plug again for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. If you've lost all other power, you can always turn on a radio and get frequent updates on Hurricane Dorian. Kelly Wilson, what else do people in St. John's need to know as you make your final preparations?
Well, your preparations should be complete. Okay, that's what our message is. We told people last night, y'all should, like I keep saying, your preparations should be complete. You should not be outside today. We need you to stay inside, stay sheltered, spend the day watching Netflix or whatever it is you'd like to do, playing board games until you lose power. And, we're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. And then tomorrow we'll assess where we are. We'll assess the damages and where we are, and hopefully we can get the roads cleaned up a little bit and all get back to normal.
That's right. And thanks so much for your insights and information. We so appreciate you joining us again today from St. John's County. Thank you, Kelly.
You are very welcome. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.
That's right. She's Kelly Wilson, Senior Planner for the St. John's County Emergency Ops Center, on the line for us there. Okay, and it's 549-2937 if you want to call us up. Chat with us as we all await Hurricane Dorian passing by Daytona Beach and now headed toward Jacksonville. We are going to go out to the beaches now, where our station manager David Luckin has been for the last couple of days waiting for this storm to arrive. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, Melissa. It looks like it has arrived. I'm standing here looking at the ocean, and it is raging, and it looks like it's 20 feet tall already. High tide's not till 1. So it looks like there's going to be flooding out here, I would guess, the way this is. There are some sightseers out here. There's also city vehicles patrolling. They've been talking to some people now for the last 5 minutes, trying to get people off. All the streets are really empty today, Melissa, not like yesterday.
That's right. Everyone is, thankfully, it sounds like, sheltering in place, as Kelly said, while they wait for this to come through. It is picking up the pace. Duval and Nassau counties under a tropical storm warning. St. John's is under a hurricane warning. And as it moves north, David, I remember the flooding from Hurricane Matthew, which we all covered back in 2016, and going out to the beaches after Matthew had dissipated and moved on from our area. It never came close to shore, but the beaches communities really got battered by Matthew. There was quite a bit of flooding and quite a bit of property damage, and so we'll have to hope for less this time, but that's certainly a possibility.
And a lot of erosion last time. Now, over the past 2 years, they planted sea oats along the whole thing, restored the dunes. But this is, last night it was up to the dunes already, and it's just fresh little sea oats. It'll be amazing if they survive, if that whole thing just doesn't get taken right out to the ocean again like it did 2 years ago.
That's right.
Bands are coming quicker now. Every few minutes you get a break, and then here comes more rain. I got woke up at 3 o'clock this morning with the first bands, and then it was real calm for several hours, but now it's pretty crazy out here.
The one hope that we have for North Florida here, David, is that the storm will pick up the pace. As we were hearing from the St. John's County Emergency Op Director, when you look at the devastation Dorian meted out to the Bahamas, the warming oceans kept that eye over the Bahamas for such an incredibly long amount of time. Just unbelievable damage. And as storms ride warming oceans, they linger and they move slower. That is exactly what we do not want for this storm. We want it to get cleared of our area as fast as possible, right?
And is 8 miles an hour fast enough? Let's hope so. Let's hope it just stays out there a ways and we just get the outer edges of it. You would think it's coming directly at us now. The ocean is it's white with foam and crazy waves crashing. It's and pictures don't do it justice. You see it with your eyes, and it looks amazing.
Right. And I know you'll take some pictures to post on our website at WJCT.org for later today, as you always do in these extreme weather situations. And let's talk a minute about the Jacksonville Beach Pier and how through multiple hurricanes that pier has been destroyed or heavily damaged and rebuilt. Rebuilt to stronger standards, by the way, let's point out.
And it didn't make it. Last time was built to withstand 150 mile an hour winds, and what, almost half of it went into the ocean. And we'll see what happens this time. No telling. There are concrete pilings now, though, and I don't believe the original pier was, so maybe these will hold better.
That's right. Let's hope for the pier to withstand Dorian. And our own station manager, David Luckin, will check in with you later today as things kick up even more. We thank you for calling into the show right now. Thanks, David.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. It's 549-2937. Give us a call as we talk about Hurricane Dorian. Here's a tweet from a listener in Mandarin. He says, "My neighbors and I in Mandarin have been canvassing the street, making sure anything loose has been removed or secured. We're ready to board up, but that isn't looking necessary now. Hope you're right about that." Here's a tweet from Larissa. "Among other things, we are freezing slanted to chill beverages when the power outages occur." That's a good tip. Fill up those water bottles, stick them in the freezer. If you lose power and you need fresh water, that is an easy way to get it. Okay, let's talk for a minute about the damage that has already been left behind in Dorian's wake. Florida, of course, still on high alert as Dorian passes by, but since it is tracking about 90 miles offshore, this state, luckily, is expecting to be spared the worst effects. Sadly, that is not the case for the Bahamas, which have been absolutely devastated by this monster storm. As Robin Sessingham reports, a local group of private pilots here in Florida is planning to airlift supplies to the devastated islands.
Hobbyist pilots from the On the Upwind Flying Club are mobilizing to collect donations and fly them to the Freeport, Bahamas airport. The club's president, Juan Conchero, says the airport is underwater right now and they won't be able to make the trip until it's safe to land and when there are people on the other side ready to accept and distribute the donations. The group has done this before. They flew to Key West after Hurricane Irma to deliver supplies. Conchero says they learned from that experience.
The most important thing is the actual list of what's needed. So when we did this for Irma, you know, the community once again came out in force to help. But as we're sorting through the donations for Key West, we were pulling out stuff like fur coats.
The list of needed donations, along with drop-off locations, is on the group's website, caringforthebahamas.com. I'm Robin Sessingham in Tampa.
Let's take a few calls now. What are your thoughts about preps for Hurricane Dorian? How are things in your neck of the woods? It's 549-2937. Give us a call. Larry is in San Pablo. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I do have a rant and a rave, or maybe both. I'm disappointed that the Winn-Dixie Corp, who's actually home-based in Jacksonville, has decided to make their employees go to work today, at least the store that's located south of 295 in San Jose. We've been told the storm's coming, that and at least today, shelter in place. I mean, we've all had 10 days to prep. I don't need a cup of coffee or sugar or eggs. So I just felt that the corporate culture at Winn-Dixie doesn't seem to give their employees a lot of consideration.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I guess they're thinking there needs to be at least one store open for folks today. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Certainly, most places are closed. Most employers have sent everyone home except for essential staff. What about you? What was your rave, and how are you doing in the San Pablo area? Well, which, you're pretty close to the water there.
Right. So I drove my wife to work. She works at that particular location, and there wasn't a soul on the roadways, JTB, San Jose. So I was happy that the city or the folks that live here really paid attention. They gave the consideration due to really what could be a horrific storm has already been proven in the Bahamas. So I was happy that, I don't know if we're new to Florida or new to Jacksonville, but everyone paid attention. I give the mayor kudos for stressing the importance of this.
So. That's right. That's right. People have been so proactive. And hey, Larry, it's better to be prepared and not have it be a terrible storm, more like a tropical storm feeling than a hurricane, than the opposite. You know, I mean, anyone who's been through several of these knows that. Now, how are things in your neighborhood?
Well, I can hear the band of showers coming. It seems a little grim at times, and then it peters out, so it doesn't seem like the apocalypse is here now, but I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
That's right. We all are, and with a little luck, this will brush by us and be gone quickly. So Larry, calling from the San Pablo area, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Melissa. Bye-bye.
Stay safe out there. A few updates before we go to the break. If you're just tuning in as we track Hurricane Dorian here at WJCT 89.9 with the assistance of Florida Storms and the statewide Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. The latest this morning from Florida Storms is rain bands have been moving on shore, the heaviest of which extend from the Palm Valley area in St. Johns County down into western Flagler County. But of course, they are moving up this way towards Duval and Nassau counties before they head up into Georgia, where we have listeners up there as well who have been told to evacuate off the state's entire coastline. There are shelters open throughout the listening area, hundreds of them. Many of them are your neighborhood public school. If you need to get to a shelter, get there now and stay where you need to stay, because there are mandatory evacuations across the area. Go to jacksready.com if you're in Duval County and get a gander at your evacuation zone. Although, as we've been hearing from the emergency ops officials, wherever you are now, you really just need to stay there. Shelter in place. That is the watchword. Schools are closed today and tomorrow across most of the area. Walt Disney World closed its theme parks yesterday. Most groceries and gas stations are shuttered right now, although we just did hear from the caller that Winn-Dixie has at least one location open. Let's talk about public transit for a minute. JTA suspended all services until Thursday. The St. Johns River Ferry is suspended. Many flights out of JIA have been canceled, so you're not going to be able to fly out today. We want to direct you to WJCT.org for more online information about everything you need to know in terms of following Hurricane Dorian, now downgraded to a Category 2 storm as it slowly, at about 8 miles an hour, churns up the Florida coast. It will reach Duval and Nassau counties later on today. We will be live throughout the day here at 89.9, tracking the storm as it passes through our listening area. Keep it here for the very latest from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. As I've been saying this for days now, if you lose power, you can always listen to the radio and get that up-to-date information. Okay, a quick break, and in a moment, your phone calls, emails, tweets, and insurance information for every home and business owner that could be affected by the storm. This is our special coverage of Hurricane Dorian. We'll be right back.
When you know we're out of sight, dark days in the summer, in the rain, the water's fine. It was wild combination, either that or right down the line.
Ooh, it goes hand in hand with fear for the afterlife. Ooh, how can we fight it, fight it? We don't even know why.
You can set out to conquer the enemy, lay traps, put up hidden security cameras, all that. But sometimes the enemy lurks closer than you imagine. On the next Snap Judgment, Head Games. Snap Judgment, storytelling with a B. Do not miss it.
Saturday afternoon at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
From doo-wop and oldies to acoustic music, listen to After Hours Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM, your community, your world, your music.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening to 89.9 and First Coast Connect as we bring you special expanded coverage of Hurricane Dorian, now downgraded to a Category 2 storm. It is tracking about 130 miles south of Jacksonville as it heads past Daytona Beach and up into our listening area. Flagler, St. John's, Duval, Nassau counties all on high alert, with closings and evacuation orders in effect throughout the area as Dorian is expected to lash the coast today and tonight with high winds, battering storm surge, and heavy rains. You know, speaking of storm surge, as we continue to track the storm, we've been getting a lot of questions about storm surge potential, not just at the coast, but also potential inland flooding. The memories of the historic flooding this city suffered in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, of course, are still fresh in everyone's minds. Give us a call, by the way, as we talk about this at 549-2937. Now, here's some good news. For the St. John's River, Hurricane Irma is not seen as an Irma flood type scenario. That is according to the National Weather Service. WJCT's Brendan Rivers has a closer look at that.
Meteorologist Angie Inyeti says during Hurricane Irma, water levels were abnormally high due to nor'easter conditions just before the storm. The situation is similar as Hurricane Dorian makes its way up the east coast of Florida, but Inyeti says there are some major differences this time.
With Irma, we had about a foot of rain, and we also had this big southerly wind push that pushed a lot of water up into the downtown area. We do not have that scenario setting up for this storm.
But she says Northeast Florida should still prepare for significant flooding along both the river and the coast.
We're looking for water rise within the river basin south of downtown of 2 to upwards near 3 feet in some areas. The surge on the coast is upward to about 5 feet. Within the intercoastal waterway, about 4 feet.
And Yeti expects tropical storm conditions on the first coast to clear by late tonight. Then things should get back to normal, with heat index values near 100 degrees tomorrow and Friday. Brendan Rivers, 89.9 WJCT News.
That's all good news, climate scientists and meteorologists who track hurricanes and also measure the effects of a warming planet also have a message for the world as we watch Dorian. For our part of Florida, it will feel more like a tropical storm in some respects than a hurricane. But it's important to note that Dorian really is a record-setting storm. It made landfall in the Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour sustained winds. That ties the landfall record that was set by a Labor Day hurricane of 1935. Since records were starting to be kept in 1851, only one storm in the Atlantic has had more powerful winds at any point during its trajectory. It was Hurricane Allen. Allen killed hundreds of people in the Caribbean back in 1980. And Dorian, as we saw, is the most powerful storm to ever hit the Bahamas directly. Now, Hurricane Andrew made landfall there back in 1992. It was blowing at 161 miles an hour. Dorian came through the Bahamas at 185. And it sped up about 35 miles an hour over the space of just 9 hours Sunday. So Dorian stands as the only storm of its caliber to ever intensify so quickly. Keep in mind, too, this is the fourth year in a row we have had a Category 5 storm form in the Atlantic during the Atlantic hurricane season. We saw the effects in the Bahamas. 5 people died there, reportedly including an 8-year-old child, the Red Cross saying, as many as 13,000 homes might have been destroyed. It's absolute devastation. 185 miles an hour is a devastating wind speed. Now, think back to Hurricane Andrew in 1992. That storm flattened Homestead, Florida at 165 mile an hour winds. But as we track these increasingly intense storms, the wind isn't the only threat of a big monster hurricane. Storm surge is really what hurricane watchers worry about. Storm surge kills. And, you know, 18 to 23 feet of storm surge in the Bahamas, simply incredible. 30 inches of rain dumped there. So this is on a par with recent trends. And I'm quoting here now from the Atlantic Science Archive. Dorian, as I said, made 2019 the fourth year in a row that sparked at least one Category 5 hurricane. That is the longest streak on record. And it was that devastating stall over the Bahamas where it was stationary for so long. We are increasingly seeing that in recent storms. This is traced back to climate change. With a warming ocean, a hurricane is more likely to have strong winds and to rapidly intensify. If the waters that it travels across are warm, the ocean is also higher, and more water vapor in the atmosphere and more slower moving air is not pushing the hurricane around as fast as they used to go. That leads to more stalled storms. And so this gives folks an idea, hopefully, of why these climactic changes we're experiencing are driving these bigger, more intense, more quickly intensifying, and these slow storms. Let's go to Richard on the north side. Hi, Richard. Hey, Richard.
My question is, I got some damage to my house from a big tree limb falling on it. Do I leave it as is until the insurance looks at it, or can I clear it out of the way so I can get into my house?
I am so glad you asked that question, Richard, because we're going to turn our attention now to insurance questions. Okay, I want you to keep listening, and I'm going to ask our insurance expert right now, Richard. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
That's
all right, thank you.
That's Richard on the north side. Now, we're going to be in the thick of this today and tonight, but some people are already experiencing damage. And we all need to be up to speed, home and business owners, on what insurance covers and what you need to do if you're sustaining property damage. Right now, let's bring in Mark Friedlander. He's with the Florida Insurance Information Institute, and he's on the line. Mark, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me this morning, Melissa. I appreciate it.
Now, we just heard from that homeowner on the north side, if you've got a downed tree or some other kind of damage, should you leave it in place until the storm passes so that you can document the problem for insurance purposes?
Well, the first thing you want to do is contact your insurance agent or your carrier to begin the claim process. So you could report the claim and explain what the situation is, and the company will give you direction on what to do with the current damage, like the caller just said, a tree blocking his house and he can't get back in. They'll give you direction on that, but you also want to make sure for any type of loss, whether it's the tree down or any other type of loss you might see from Hurricane Dorian, to document the loss. Make sure you, at the very least, take some photos. Video be good as well, but photos are fine, so that when the adjuster is sent out from the insurance company, they can see exactly what happened. Because, like I said, in the case of the caller, most likely he will need to be able to move that tree before the adjuster comes out. So you want to take photos before anything is touched. And then if you need to pay any out-of-pocket expenses before your insurance carrier provides you with reimbursement for certain items, make sure you have receipts for everything. Like if you need to hire a tree company right away to get that tree out of the way, make sure he has a receipt for that, so that will be included with the final claim payout from the company, from the insurance company.
Richard, I hope that answers your first question. Take pictures, take video, and if you call in a tree service, keep those receipts. Okay, Mark, people are often so confused about what is covered and what isn't during a hurricane and afterwards. Can you take us through that? What do people need to know about how they're covered?
Sure. One of the biggest misconceptions we see with insurance coverage here in Florida when it comes to hurricanes is many homeowners assume that they have flood coverage because there is a hurricane deductible included in their policy. And let me just explain that real quickly. The hurricane deductible, what that is, it is a special deductible only for designated tropical events, named events. So, for example, say you have a $200,000 home and your deductible, your hurricane deductible is 2%. That means the first $4,000 on the claim payout from your insurance carrier would be subtracted. So say you have a $20,000 loss, the deductible is 2%, that's $4,000, your claim payout would be then $16,000. So that's one part, but as far as flood coverage, flood is a separate policy from your standard homeowner's policy. So if there is water intrusion coming from the ground up, which in most cases occurs during hurricanes and tropical storms, that would not be covered under your standard homeowner's policy. You need to have a separate flood policy. And we got a lot of questions about this, Melissa, before the storm. When we knew it was coming, it was a week away. It was, you know, everybody knew it was going to have some impact on Florida. Unfortunately, the way flood policies work, you can't just sign up for a flood policy tomorrow. There's a 30-day waiting period between the time you apply for your flood policy and the insurance carrier begins the process. So if, for example, if you apply for your flood policy today, it'll be 30 days before the policy takes effect.
Too late for most,
the National Flood Insurance Program.
You know, I'm so glad you pointed that out because one thing that you learn covering these storms and watching all of this flooding is when we talk to folks like you who are insurance experts, you learn that really, if you live in Florida, for the most part, no matter where you live, even if you don't live in a flood zone, Mark, these days, it's a good bet to invest in flood insurance and buy that policy every year, even if you don't think you're going to need it, right? So much of the state is subject to unpredictable flooding these days.
Right. You know, clearly, you know, it's all about peace of mind, about protecting your financial security. That's what insurance is all about. And what we see nationally, 90% of all natural disasters in the U.S. have a flooding component. So it's not just Florida. This could happen in any state in the country. And we've seen more and more major flood events from tropical systems, you know, moving into inland New England, for example, with Superstorm Sandy. Look at the massive flooding we had in Vermont and New Hampshire with that storm, far away from the coast. So it's not just a Florida event, but clearly in Florida, I mean, Florida's the peninsula. We're surrounded by water, you know, virtually around the entire state. Flooding is going to occur with tropical systems. You know, you look at, you talk about storm surge, you know, brings that water in from the ocean that moves inland. And just, you know, the torrential downpours that we have, you know, we had some overnight here with the first bands coming in from Dorian. That could quickly cause flooding in your area.
That's right. So it's too late for this storm, as Mark said. But buy that flood insurance policy the next time you're able to. For many homeowners, it's a few hundred dollars. And it may seem like a needless expense, but I promise you, it is worth that peace of mind, as you said, Mark. Okay, another concern people have and a lot of questions people have is, what does their automobile insurance cover if their car gets damaged during a storm like Dorian? Can you explain to us what people need to know about their autos?
Sure, Melissa. That's another misconception, because the auto policy covers damage to your auto. That's not under your homeowner's property coverage. It's a separate policy, and you need to have specifically comprehensive coverage on your auto policy. That's an optional coverage that we see about 80% of consumers across the country take, and it covers anything that's non-collision. So it's water damage, it's a tree falling on your car, anything that is not in the collision category would be covered under the comprehensive policy. Your windshield gets cracked by, you know, falling debris, for example. That's all covered under comprehensive during a hurricane event.
This is such great information, and we can't thank you enough for joining us by phone this morning to update our listeners, Mark. He's Mark Friedlander with the Florida Insurance Information Institute. Very important and timely information, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Melissa. Take care.
Okay, and as we've been hearing through the hour, we will not likely experience the kind of biblical-level flooding this community saw 2 years ago during Hurricane Irma. One community that was absolutely devastated by that flooding in Jacksonville were the residents of Ken Knight Drive on Jacksonville's north side. 2 years on, our own Lindsay Kilbride found that they are now waiting in place for Dorian. Here's that story.
Tuesday evening, Alton Gordon is riding around his street in a golf cart checking on his neighbors.
What's up, Don? Well, I know they're going to need some water. And, we're still going to need some more sandbag.
In this mostly low-income area with its rows of small townhomes, an entire year post-Irma, some still had tarped roofs and boarded-up windows. and some still need work today. Gordon's home, like many others, flooded several feet, and that day he rescued his neighbors with a rowboat.
And got my children to safety up there.
Uh-huh.
Then from then on, people was calling for me, so I started just helping all the people that I seen in the yards, and they trying to come through water this high.
He's pointing to his waist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nasty water.
What did you do to prepare?
Went and got my boat again.
So are you nervous at all?
It made me sad, more than nervous. It can come and make a mess again. Because all that sludge, that black sludge, oily-like stuff come from that water. It's all in your house. Then you got to cut all the walls out again. Got to take your floor up.
Despite being a mandatory evacuation zone, his neighborhood is packed with residents with hours to go before Dorian's winds are supposed to reach Jacksonville. He says some don't have cars or a place to go. The National Weather Service predicts storm surge in the St. Johns River won't reach the level seen after Hurricane Irma. Lindsay Kilbride, 89.9 WJCT News.
Well, some good news there as we all await this storm. Of course, hurricane season is by no means over yet. But if you're just tuning in, Florida on high alert as Hurricane Dorian, now a Category 2 storm, passes by North Florida today. It's going to gradually leave us behind today and then set its sights on the coasts of Georgia and then the Carolinas. Dorian is basically scraping our coast, although everyone needs to stay in place today and tonight. Heed the curfews and the closing orders. Get to a shelter if you need it. And be safe out there. To our north, they're going to see likely even worse effects. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia has expanded a state of emergency in that state to 9 more inland counties ahead of Hurricane Dorian to try to help facilitate storm response and recovery. You know, Georgia and especially the Carolinas will be facing even more than we are looking at the path of the storm, destructive winds, flooding rains, and life-threatening storm surges. That according to the National Hurricane Center. So let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't experience the most severe impacts of this monster storm. It is about 90 miles offshore, tracking in between Daytona Beach and Jacksonville right now. The Category 2 storm has expanded in size, although it has decreased in intensity since it devastated the northwest Bahamas. So the strong winds cover a larger area. That means they can generate giant waves and push those massive amounts of water right toward the shore. That is a huge concern for people along the coastline and emergency operations officials. Coastal flooding and storm surge, still a big risk all the way from our area up to the North Carolina Outer Banks. So keep an eye out for that. Stay where you are and keep listening here to 89.9 and the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. In a moment, how one Jack's Beach man is using his viral videos during hurricanes to provide Dorian relief efforts. We'll speak with Lane Pittman right after this.
Cypress Village, a continuing care retirement community, features resort lifestyle amenities which allow residents to remain active and vibrant. The new alternative to long-term care insurance, 901-4004. More at lifecare.brookdale.com.
Now for only $9.90, unlock access to the world's best documentaries through WJCT's newest member benefit, PBS's Passport and Curiosity Stream combined. Visit WJCT.org/donate and begin streaming this incredible collection of documentaries today.
Every day, NPR's All Things Considered includes news that keeps you ahead of the curve.
If this issue is not important enough for us to draw a line in the sand, what issue is?
Plus, the unexpected.
The wing, the skin, the neck, the heart, you're making chicken meatballs, cooking the knee cartilage.
All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air.
We're caught in a trap.
A 50th anniversary box set of Elvis Presley's 1969 comeback in Vegas has just been released. We'll talk with James Burton, the guitarist who played with Elvis on those concerts and until Elvis's death. Burton played with many iconic performers, including Sinatra. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
America's strong economy has created a labor shortage. A number of jobs are going to immigrants who are not authorized to work here. Some businesses say the Trump administration's focus on attracting highly skilled workers is hurting them. How do we meet the high demand for low-skilled workers? Next time on 1A.
Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back, and we're tracking Hurricane Dorian here on the show today and throughout the day and evening here on 89.9 through our partner, the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. You can listen all day for regular updates to the path of Hurricane Dorian. You can follow them on Twitter, too, at Florida Storms. Of course, also follow at WJCT Jax. Okay, let's talk now about Jacksonville Beach resident Lane Pittman. Pittman went viral during Hurricane Matthew back in 2016 when he made a head-banging hurricane video. Now, if you haven't seen the video, look it up on YouTube. It's really incredible. Lane Pittman is back at it now, trying to raise some funds for Dorian relief efforts in the process. He's in Arlington. He's going to head up to the Carolinas later, but he's still in town right now. Lane Pittman, how are you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great, thanks. Riding out the storm here at WJCT. Now, let's talk about that video you made during Hurricane Matthew. More than 4 million views on YouTube. Anyone who's seen it will never forget it. You're playing guitar. The storm is going off. What prompted you to make this video in the first place?
It was kind of spontaneous. I'm out there holding an American flag, just headbanging in the wind. And I don't know, man, it was like a cry of freedom. I don't know.
So even though the storm is so dangerous and devastating, I guess in a small way, you found it a little exhilarating. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Florida treats hurricanes a little bit differently than I think most states and most people. It's almost like a little bit of a weird kind of a thrill sometimes, as long as, people aren't dying or something like that. But yeah, it can be pretty crazy.
Sure. Now, you really achieved viral fame back in 2016. Did that take you by surprise?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I went from, thinking my parents, I was at my parents' house. I was thinking their house was going to be underwater, to posting this ridiculous video and then getting, a million views within the first hour and the storm bumping. I think east, so we weren't even going to be really that badly impacted. It was a great day.
You always use Slayer in your videos. People see you with the American flag, rocking out. Why Slayer?
I don't know. It's kind of an inside joke between me and one of my buddies. It's just anything ridiculous is Slayer raining blood. And I was like, dude, how funny would that be if it was a hurricane video just blasting raining blood by Slayer?
What do you have planned for this storm? What video are you going to make for Dorian?
So it's not really that bad here, to be honest, and
right.
Or not that bad to be anything headbanging worthy. So I raised some money, and I'm going to go up to probably the Carolinas tomorrow or Friday. I don't know, the track keeps changing every time I look at it. So I'm on standby for the next 2 days. I'm going to go up there and get it when it's at its peak and make a headbanging video and put it out there for people to get a laugh at.
And when they laugh, they can help out too. You've set up a GoFundMe campaign for Dorian aftermath relief. You're already getting money rolling in, aren't you?
Yeah. And I even have some sponsorships that aren't even in the GoFundMe either. So it's been really well this hurricane season as far as like raising money goes. Last year was pretty cool, being able to raise some money to go help out in the Carolinas for Florence, and be able to go help out in the Panhandle for Hurricane Michael. So kind of went in with a little bit better mindset this go-round, and was able to raise significantly more money, and still is being raised like right now. So yeah, it's going to be good. I have a pretty sweet budget to be able to help people out with.
That's right. You can go to GoFundMe, search Lane Pittman, check out his effort, check out his videos on YouTube. We'll be seeing a new one shortly from the Carolinas. But Lane, you know, be careful as you head up there, because it looks to be a little more severe in the Carolinas than what we're going to experience here in Florida.
Yeah, I'm used to it. It was fine. I did it last year for Florence, and it was about the same. I think it's going to be about the same strength coming in as Hurricane Florence was. So I'm not going to like downplay it. I'm definitely going to be alert going up there and not be dumb. But In the same sense too, it's like I feel pretty good going into it.
Okay. Well, I see the quote here from you. All I need is a car, a flag, a cameraman, and some sweet conditioner. That's for
right.
your hair, right? You got to have your hair
That's
blowing
right.
in the wind.
You got to keep the locks fresh.
All right, Lane, keep rocking. And thank you for joining us. Be careful driving up there.
All right, appreciate it. God bless.
You too. That's Jacksonville Beach's own Lane Pittman. Check out his videos and his GoFundMe effort and donate to it if you can. And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. Our producer is Heather Schatz. The calm in the eye of the storm. Michelle Corum, the queen of all she surveys, is directing this program. And we always want your emails. Send them to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. We'll continue to track Hurricane Dorian throughout the day and evening here on 89.9 as we bring you regular updates from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. If you lose power, keep in mind, you can always turn on the radio and get the very latest information. We are your port in a storm. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.